Systemic inequalities. During conflicts, systemic inequalities can negatively impact women and girls' access to services. This is particularly true for women and girls dependent on their male counterparts for their citizenship, as they have the least or no access to protection that comes from being citizens. This includes access to health care, legal services, employment and other socioeconomic and cultural rights. They also bear the repercussions of weak regulatory systems and frameworks that allow non-state actors to violate human rights. Statelessness, threats to nationality, and systemic violence. Statelessness can be both the cause and consequences of a conflict. It can be the result of intersections between conflict and discrimination against women in nationality rights, such as laws that require women to change their nationality after marriage, denying them the right to pass on their nationality to their children. Note reference 109. When people are forced to flee their homes during conflicts, there are high chances of them losing identity documents to prove their nationality. As their status is dependent on their male counterparts, it is not considered important for them to hold citizenships in their own names, which denies them individual identity, citizenship, and access to many services including health and SRH even during conflict and humanitarian crises. Rohingya Muslim women in Myanmar have experienced a wide range of sexual and gender-based violence. Note reference 110. With no access to complaint, redress or justice mechanisms, they are also subjected to severe monitoring and control, and restrictions on their freedom of movement, marriage, and family planning. Note reference 111. Research by Fornify Rights found that random checks by law enforcement agents, encouraged by the state for record-keeping of individual household members, are used as an excuse by security forces to commit sexual violence against Rohingya women and girls, including incidents of gang rapes and forced breastfeeding of babies in front of uniformed police and army soldiers. Note reference 112. The state also interferes in marriages involving Rohingyas, where Muslim couples have to obtain official approval by paying a large amount of fees, and it can take up to 2 years to secure the approval. Note reference 113. According to Section 188 of the Penal Code, Rohingya women having children out of wedlock are subject to imprisonment for up to 10 years or fine for both, forcing women to seek unsafe abortions. Note reference 114. Meanwhile, there are tens of thousands of women from Myanmar living as undocumented migrants in Thailand, who have limited access to health services due to their statelessness and are exploited in informal sectors. Note reference 115. As statelessness excludes them from political processes, their experiences are page 17, not reflected in the peace processes. Statelessness, therefore, creates a vicious cycle of violence that needs to be addressed before sustainable peace can be achieved. Quote, for some women and girls who assume non-traditional leadership roles, conflict can be a transformative process, such as being the head of the household, making decisions and taking care of the financial needs to feed the family, as well as being commanders of troops and breaking gender stereotypes. End of quote. Human rights violations by transnational corporations perpetuate conflict: weak regulatory systems and frameworks caused by conflicts allow different types of non-state actors, such as transnational corporations, especially in extractive industries, to make substantial investments. Note reference 116. Multinational corporations are engaged to develop countries through extractive industries at the expense of the local people. Note reference 117. The Global Report on the Implementation of the United Nations Security Council Resolution UNSCR 1325 has highlighted that private security forces attached to these industries perpetrate violence against women, including sexual violence, which then go unreported due to dismantled judicial and legal systems. The report further mentions that they display populations, have their own systems of intrusive security, encourage rampant corruption, and have enormous influence on the government at all levels, causing many women to be displaced with little or no compensation. Increased military-centric approach is a threat to the democratic rights of people, including their SRHR. We have witnessed a surge in the use of military force in countries in the region with protracted conflicts. Global military expenditure in 2014 was $1.7 trillion, which is 13 times higher than the amount allocated for development aid. Note reference, 118. Militarization is a threat to the democratic rights of people and it perpetuates a cycle of violence. The presence of military increases the risk of violence against women and threatens their bodily security. States have also used the military to take away wealth and resources from communities' control, especially from indigenous and local people. Note reference, 119. In intergovernmental debate and discussion spaces, where women remain largely underrepresented, negotiations are solely focused on military and high-level processes and often result in further empowering men with guns. Note reference, 120. As a result, export and trade in arms has increased significantly in the region and there has been a huge proliferation of arms, including small arms, which has contributed substantially to heightened levels of violence in communities, especially against women. Note reference, 121. All these illustrate the lack of seriousness paid to issues related to women and girls in the peace processes. Equal and meaningful participation of women in all levels of peace processes is key to sustainable peace and development. Conflict as a transformative process for women. For some women and girls who assume non-traditional leadership roles, conflict can be a transformative process, such as being the head of the household, making decisions and taking care of the financial needs to feed the family, as well as being commanders of troops and breaking gender stereotypes. A study carried out by the United States Agency for International Development USAID in Colombia, Indonesia, the Philippines and Sri Lanka concluded that while conflict can cause suffering, they also presented opportunities for women to take up leadership roles in the wake of disruption of traditional local structures, livelihoods and gender norms, and they continued to play more active economic roles as they struggled to recover and rebuild. Note reference, 122. With these roles, they experience gains and opportunities to weaken patriarchy, which is crucial for lasting peace. Women have also organized themselves to ensure that facilities in the times of crises are accessible to them. In Sri Lanka, during the time of conflict, displaced Muslim women fought for latrines to be built in spaces of their convenience, which would have otherwise had them make the long and dangerous walk in the dark. However, such experiences are often silenced and left out during the transition from conflict to peace, thereby losing the gains made because traditional structures and systems come into play again. Exclusion of women and girls from conflict resolution and peace-building processes. Despite international human rights instruments recognizing the importance of women's participation at decision-making levels, women and their experiences continue to be made invisible, and their voices silenced and marginalized in conflict prevention, resolution and peace negotiation processes. Peace is feminized and page 18. Women's roles in the peace processes are seen within an essentialist realm to bring a social order by pushing women to maintain their role as caregivers. Note reference, 123. Despite the fact that women often take leadership roles as heads of households, political leaders, and combatants during the time of conflict. Note reference, 124. Women were significantly affected not just as victims but also as human rights defenders, fighters, and leaders, as was the case during the 10-year insurgency in Nepal. Despite their active role in the conflict, the Nepalese government officials, political party leaders, and Maoist rebel leaders failed to ensure women's participation in formal talks and negotiations. Note reference, 125. Similarly in Myanmar, women's voices are hampered by the way peace processes are designed and the focus continues to be on neutralizing perpetrators of violence rather than investing in resources for peace. Note reference, 126. In Indonesia, 10 years after the Memorandum of Understanding between the Government of Indonesia and the Free Aceh Movement, GAM, gender-based violence continues to be normalized in post-conflict Aceh, with regular attacks on gender and sexual minorities, female human rights defenders, women and gender studies lecturers. Note reference, 127. As a result, gender hierarchy continues in the post-conflict phase. Women's absence at the negotiation tables and during peace talks prevents sustainable peace from being a reality. Quote, Peace is feminized and women's roles in the peace processes are seen within an essentialist realm to bring a social order by pushing women to maintain their role as caregivers. Despite the fact that women often take leadership roles as heads of households, political leaders, and combatants during the time of conflict. End of quote.